You know, a couple of years ago was the centennial of Thelonious Monk, one of the premier architects of this music. And I was over across the street here at a seminar. And at that seminar, T.S. Monk and also the author of the biography on Thelonious Monk, Robin Kelly. And the point that I came away with was T.S. and Robin both agreed. You know, Thelonious's music was made to get on and ride, not simply play it note for note the way the man wrote it in the first place, but get on it and ride it as if you were a cowboy hitting the trail for the very first time. Well, that horse, as it applies this morning, grew out of Warwicka Hill in Jamaica, and its architect, and in the saddle, is the master, Dr. Monty Alexander, and six of his good friends. And this morning, we are gonna funkicize. No. Don't make it funky. Make it spunky. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Monty Alexander. Thank you. Now, my friends, that is a little bit of Rasta Funk vibration. And if you were listening real close, a little Lee Morgan sauce there on top, right?
Absolutely. First of all, it's so wonderful to be here at BTO with you, Gary.
Dr. Monty Alexander in the house. And I'll tell you, if you're stuck in traffic, you couldn't have picked a better morning to be stuck.
Well, you know, this music thing is, as a doctor, I can prescribe a little healing every now and then, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're doing this music, the joys of my youth, as a fella who grew up in Kingston, Jamaica, loving this world of musics, all kind of music. We used to hear on the radio pop music, country music, blues music, R&B music, jazz music.
You heard it all, didn't you? I mean, from Tennessee Ernie Ford to Count Basie to Nat Cole to
Gene Autry.
Yeah.
Rachmaninoff. Name it. I heard all this music, and that's back in the early days before they had what type of music. They just played one song after different music, and people just sat there and soaked up nice music, you know. So I heard the jazz. My number one hero that's knocked me out was Louis Armstrong, who I saw live in Kingston at the Carib Theater, as well as Nat King Cole. But the rhythms of Jamaica, and this is before the popular music, I call it popular music, when the music started to get out of the shores of Jamaica, and it started with something called ska, the Jamaica ska. It was a very dancing kind of rhythm. And
Did they call it ska?
Well, it's like a lot of these little words that just were born somewhere, somehow. Somebody came up with the word. And in fact, my friend Ernest Ranglin, the awesome guitarist, Ernest used to tell me, said, well, you know, we were trying to describe this particular beat when the singers would come in the studio and say, you know, when the early producers, a man named Coxon Dodd, and there was another man named Mr. Duke Reed. Mr. Duke Reed was an ex-policeman. And he came in the studio with a .38 revolver on his waist, make sure nobody messed up, you know? And then also, Mr. Chris Blackwell, who started Island Records, he was a record producer. But some of the singers would come in, guys from the country parts that had a little tune, a little love song, simple thing, and he wanted that particular beat, and somebody said, you know that, let's give him that rhythm, the one that have that little beat, where you go, and ska. Next thing you know, the musicians in the studio say, yeah, man, play the tune with the ska beat. Next thing you know, the music got described by people who are not musicians saying, ska, Jamaica ska. And you heard that in the early days. And we were talking before the broadcast, the taping, about Little Millie Small, who had My Boy Lollipop. That was a ska. That was a ska, and that started the whole thing. And this is before the reggae scene, you know, when Bob Marley came and, you know, changed the whole world.
That was Chris Blackwell's first hit, wasn't it?
That was, yeah, Little Millie Small singing My Boy Love. It was recorded in England, by the way, and there were a lot of British musicians on that. So anyhow, as a youngster loving this whole jazz, music, blues, everything, I used to sneak out of school to go to the recording studio. I was about 14 years old. And I knew what to do on the piano as far as rhythm. I felt very, confident, and I owned it. So I would play those rhythms, and one of the musicians, we were talking on an intermission, and he said, hey, Monty, you ever hear about this guy, Thelonious Monk? I say not really, and I'm learning little by little about the jazz scene and so on. And he told me about Thelonious, and for some reason I had already put away in my mind these people in Jamaica who had embraced the philosophy of Rastafarianism, which is the heartbeat of the rhythms of Jamaica in the reggae scene. And I remember hearing those drums up in the hill right next to the house I came up in, called Warwicka Hill. And that's where the Rasta men would go up to the hill and praise and worship their deity, their god, which was they would be up there playing drums and chanting. So I tucked away in my young mind that Thelonious Monk and the Rastafarians were one and the same. They were like the same club, you know, they're different. And you can't label it because it's every note is a surprise. And the same thing with the Rastas. You know, when they talk, they change the English language. They would never say, I appreciate you. They say, I appreciate love you.
Yeah.
They would never say, I understand you.
But see, all that has been in your DNA. Later, Monty would coin the phrase, Jamento, which is the merging of those entities. People like Duke Ellington, people like Miles Davis, people like Frank Sinatra would come up and they were attracted to the type of feel when you expressed yourself. And it all had to do with what you're just talking about now, didn't
it? Oh, man, that's a part of the whole equation because it's about your love for the music. What is it? Is it this kind of thing? And for me, it was all one and the same. I liked each so-called genre more than the other. I loved all of it. So I was just a kid in a candy store.
You know? Warika Hill.
Warika Hill.
Is Rasta Monk Vibrations. It's brand new. And Monty and his good friends are playing all this week. They opened on Tuesday and they'll run through Sunday at the Blue Note in New York City. You want to introduce the guys you brought with you today?
Well, that mean saxophone playing just came from a man who came out of the United Kingdom, but his parents were of Jamaican heritage. This is Wayne S. Coffrey.
Ah.
I'm pleased to have Wayne playing some serious horn there. So that's Wayne, our guitar rhythm player. He is very close to our community. He went to Jamaica and played with a lot of the very popular bands there. This is Andy Basford. Then playing the drums from Montego Bay is one of the men who is a staple in the whole Jamaican music community. That's Mr. Carl Wright from Montego Bay. Our electric bass player who is bringing the sounds of Jamaican bass, the dub, is Leon Duncan from Kingston, Jamaica. Wonderful jazz drumming here from a man from the Bronx who grew up around the West Indians as well is Jason Brown. And my longtime brother, colleague, associate, the wonderful Hassan J.J. Shakur playing the acoustic bass. That's the band.
That's a hell of a band, I tell you. And if you were with us at the front, what was that first Monk tune we heard?
Well, that was one of the many, many Thelonious Monk classics. It was called Mysterioso. And if you check out the titles of Thelonious' songs, everyone made you scratch your head and say, what, why, how? You know, because Monk was a unique individual. And Mysterioso is interesting because when you heard that song, the first part of it was inspired by a tune that I heard, kind of came out of the R&B scene, but it was used by this amazing trombone player from Jamaica, Don Drummond. So much so that a lot of the younger masterful trombone players are seeking this man out to see how he did it, why he did it, because he had a sound that was all his own. And then the second part of the song, I married it with our hero, Lee Morgan, who recorded the Sidewinder. And I, one more time, your vision of how people would react to each other. So I put Don Drummond and Lee Morgan together in that particular song of Mysterious.
Was it Concrete Jungle? Maybe I've got the wrong record, that Delphio Marsalis was on the trombone?
Indeed.
And while he was down there, he went and searched out the grave of Don Drummond, right?
That's absolutely right. Delphio brought a passionate approach into the whole thing, and he seeked him out, and we said, you know, I think the burial ground is in such and such an area. And far as I know, he went and found it. But likewise, on a previous recording, when I played Bob Marley's song, Steve Touré, he also knew about Don Drummond. So the man he's up there in the cloud somewhere with what he left behind, you know. And I was honored to be around those guys from I was about 14 years old, you know, the scene that started. They were jazz men. Men that wanted to be around Miles and Bird and such, but they knew about this rhythm that the record producer said, man, keep the beat, keep the rhythm, because nothing like seeing a bunch of Jamaicans on a Friday night and a Saturday night at the Sound System dance, just moving and grooving, you know?
And like this Friday and Saturday night, you can see a bunch of guys jumping around and dancing and having a good time, and the audience, they ain't going to be sitting still either, because it's happening at the Blue Note in New York City. Celebrating Warika Hill and Monty Alexander and his friends this morning on Morning Jazz, and it's what brings you here to WBGO. What are we going to hear next, man?
I'm going to play Rhythm and Ning, one of Thelonious' great compositions. And this time around, we're going to do some, I call it straight aheading. We're going straight ahead up to a good place. Yes, sir.
As Monty would say, let's rock this house. Thank you. 88.3 FM, WBGO. Sign in front of me says, "We speak jazz." And that's just exactly the way we speak it and the way we tweak it from week to week. And this week at the Blue Note in New York City, Monty Alexander and his group will be appearing. Warwick Hill, they continue on as they have, they opened Tuesday night and they'll run through Sunday. Yeah, rhythmining. Thelonious could do that. That's why you listen to that cat, right? And Monty does it, and that's why you listen to that cat. I want to talk to you about how you morph a Thelonious Monk composition from the straight ahead that we got a taste with you and JJ just a moment ago to the sound of Kingston.
Yes, yes, yes.
Can you show
surely,
us?
Surely, surely, surely. Well, first of all, to me, as I said before, this music, it's all good. It's all the same to me.
Yeah.
And I always love when Bob Marley wrote that tune and used that phrase a whole lot called "One Love." And when you're thinking about rhythm, the one of the bar is the same one, whether it's a reggae or a rock or a pop or a whatever, it's all the same. And it's a question of how you move with it. And in the case of Thelonious, when I heard all those interpretations, which was straight ahead, as we call it, I always felt those melodies, they remind me of calypso kind of flavors. You know, I did some investigating because I was almost sure something happened along the way where Thelonious was exposed to the islands and what they were about, the food. In fact, there was a friend of mine was reminding me then on a commercial. No, it was not a commercial, it was a documentary. And Thelonious is laying down in a bed, relaxing in his hotel room, and the French waiter came up to him and said, "Monsieur, what can I get you?" And Mok just looked at him and said, "What, some rice and peas?" Because he had grown up loving something called rice and peas, which is a dish we eat in Jamaica. You know, some people say peas and rice in the Bahamas, you know. So I found out that when he came from his hometown of Rocky Mount, North Carolina, his parents, he was the age of 5. Young boy. He comes to New York and they lived in the area called San Juan Hill.
Think Lincoln Center.
And yeah, they called it that because it was a reflection of San Juan Hill in Cuba, where the war stuff had happened, a lot of fighting and killing going on there. And it was a rough neighborhood. But among the neighbors around Thelonious were a lot of West Indians, English-speaking West Indians, who did not know French or Spanish. You know, they spoke together, and they were from Antigua, from St. Kitts, from Barbados, from Trinidad, from Jamaica, all those islands. You know, you heard the calypso music on the record players. So, in fact, every time I see him playing the piano, and he's moving, he get up from the piano and he start dancing. So, anyhow, to me, he was already as far as the West Indian approach to rhythm. Like the mento that we were speaking about is the old-time calypsos. In fact, if you recall when our great hero, Dr. Harry Belafonte, sang those early songs that were so beloved by the audiences. I mean, he outsold Elvis Presley, I heard, when he made that first album called Calypso. Those were songs that came out of the mento. So Monk heard that, no doubt. And it made us realize that it's all one, it's all the same. So for me, it's a joy to play the rhythm that would be typical of Jamaica. And it's a joy, I like to say, go uptown to 125th Street, because to me, that's where the great maestro Duke Ellington wrote those masterpieces, for the most part.
You know? And you masterfully have done it over the last few years with the Harlem Kingston Express bands, too.
Thank you very much. I enjoy doing that because, you know, it. And you know what, the heartbeat behind the whole thing? It's called friendship. Bunch of guys who appreciate each other. And the miracle of this music thing is the guys who came out of Kingston or Montego Bay or wherever in Jamaica who may not have been thinking about uptown and Harlem and the Bronx. And they meet these other men from parts of America who come up in the jazz tradition. The instant camaraderie that the music allows. So when we go play, it's not just playing the music, we're playing our friendship. the good vibes.
So if I'm a student of Thelonious Monk, show us here. And I'm familiar with, you know, in the pocket monk, right? As perhaps it was originally written, but not for the end of time intended. How would I take that and give it that island feel? What would I do exactly?
Well, first of all, you go to the restaurant and eat a lot of rice and peas. And some jerk chicken. Yeah. And some saltfish and ackee. And go hang out with the folks at a dance on Saturday night. Yeah, man, play the thing. You know, and it's just a different way of behaving, walking, talking, thinking. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, especially today with the different music and things, that there's a bunch of ruffians, you know, rough people. A lot of these people were such dignity and great integrity about their lives. Church-going people when they came over from the islands. And I realized so many of our heroes in jazz were of West Indian heritage. I know that Mr. Roy Haynes is from Barbados. The great Oscar Peterson's parents were from Barbados, St. Kitts. Randy Weston was from Jamaica, rest his soul, he just left us. In fact, he was the in-between Duke Ellington and Thelonious. Randy was right there with Monk. And then there's Wynton Kelly, a man I got to know very well. He was a warm, beautiful human being. Every note he played on the piano had a smile, Wynton. And he was a Jamaican. And it goes on, Elmer Hope, Leonard Gaskin, Tricky Sam Nanton that played trombone with Duke Ellington in the 30s. So there was a lot of guys that were of the West Indian, the English-speaking West Indians. That, in fact, from Puerto Rico was Juan Tizol, who wrote Caravan. So people from the islands. And right now, we send out the warm wishes of heartfelt sympathy for all that's just happened in the Bahamas because a hurricane came on and knocked folks down real bad. So
you felt that firsthand before because you've written music about it.
I was a kid when Hurricane Charlie came and blew the roofs off from down the road from where I lived. And everybody came to my folks' house, which had a strong roof. And I remember when they came and drank out all the whiskey. Yeah, man, them people could drink. So anyhow, it's enjoyable for me to talk about it because it's my life. It was a part of mine. But I never said it, never did it. Because I love the idea of merging and bringing people together. And music is one of the things that does that. And rhythm is one of the first things that grabs you. When you feel that beat that way and you feel it that way, and the next thing you're in the room with somebody you never knew before and they come from a whole different culture and you see them moving and grooving and smiling, everybody turn around and say, you like this too, man? We're all one, you know? And that's the heartbeat. That's the message behind something like this. That's
sure.
Thelonious, who is such an icon to many of us.
Warwick Hill is the name of the new recording, and if you're grooving and moving with us here this morning on WBGO, we thank you for that, and it's the best way we know to thank our folks who contribute to keep us strong. And the best way to hear and feel this music is in a room with it live, and you can experience that through Sunday night. Couple of sets each evening at the Blue Note in New York City.
8 o'clock and 10:30, and we had a fine time last night. We had the walls shaking a little bit there with groovings and.
Of course you did.
Marvelous time.
Had the walls sweating, I'm sure.
Yeah, that took the paint off the wall.
There you go. What are we gonna hear next, guys?
Well, I thought I'd go to something with a little more up tempo, and we have a version of Monk's "Well, You Needn't." And here it is. Well, You Needn't.
Dr. Monty Alexander, and Well, You Needn't Go Anywhere Else Than WBGO. Thank you. You know, after you hear something like that, I think Monty would agree, too. That music smells good, man. It just smells good. Tastes good, too.
Smell good. I never known it smelled dirty.
At the piano, on the melodica as well. And if Monk were here today, and he might just be, for all we know, he'd be dancing around the room in that most curious way, wouldn't he?
You know, it's funny. I always say, you know, when most of us move right, Thelonious move left. When we're going up, he's going down. You know, he just had his own rhythm, his own style. He would play those notes on the piano that nobody ever would have played in a million years. And to this day, here we are, decades later, it's like the first time you hear it, every time he plays, you know? So,
But that kind of feel that you bring to the piano, that you brought to the piano for so many decades, and I have to tell you, folks, you want to really read a story without really reading a story? I urge you to visit Monty Alexander's website, where there is a decade-by-decade breakdown of what this man has accomplished during the course of his career. And what he's talked about here this morning sounds so simple, but you try to go out and find another person that could do it this way, you'd be hard-pressed to do that. But it was that thing that attracted Milt Jackson. It was that thing that attracted Frank Sinatra and Gilly and brought him from Miami to New York City. It was that thing that also got him to appreciate not only cowboys and their stories, but their music as well.
You know, the miracle of my life, as I look back on it, is the joy of being around all those things that I loved and wanted to be around, and people were so nice. And it's only one or two people along the way that said, man, get out of here, you know, like I was a nuisance or something, but I was just the kid, you know, just wanted to be around it, and I just loved being around it. And the thing with me is, I was a very, very poor student at school. When they start talking about algebra and trigonometry, that's when I start sweating. I would be nervous. I hate that, you know.
So you were thinking Happy Trails before you were playing it.
I was playing. I was playing Happy Trails and that kind of stuff. That was my life, you know. I dreamed of being a cowboy. I'd be yodeling and everything, you know. But the thing with me, because I was such a poor student, when my folks said, you got to go to the piano teacher, and bless her heart, that lady started hitting me on the knuckles with the ruler. And said, you should hold your hands like this. Don't hold your hands like that. But that time I said, man, I ain't doing this no more. Because I was already playing me some boogie-woogie. So I was self-enjoying. I don't know if I was learning anything, but I never really went to music school. And I never really learned to read music. So I'm this kind of guy over on the side. So everything I soaked up, whatever it is to this day, is all coming from what I call radar. I got me some radar working.
Boy, and your radar over the years, I mean, if you've seen the movie Bird, well, you've heard Monty Alexander, the film you did with Quincy Jones.
Yeah, Mr. Jones asked me to join up in the band there when he did a movie for Love of Ivy, Sid Poitier, and a couple of records.
Abby Lincoln was in that movie.
He had me playing Bill Cosby's first popular show on television after I Spy. So I was around, and I think what kind of had me not continuing in the studio, happily so, if you don't mind me saying so, was because I couldn't read, and I was going to be holding up the session, trying to figure out that note on a piece of paper, and feeling like I'm messing up the whole works. So I just ran away from that, and I just kept playing in the bars and the nightclubs and the saloons. So I tell people, like so many of my heroes, my education came from being around those men who were beautiful people and welcomed me. I'm thinking of Clark Terry right now. I'm thinking of Ray Brown. I'm thinking about these so salt-of-the-earth human beings who just not played beautiful, loving music, but were beautiful, loving people. So to me, this thing is about a community of humanity that is so respectful and loving to one another.
But it's a small community, isn't it?
It's a small. You kind of wish the whole world was more like that, because us musicians, we should be the diplomats and the politicians and the government. Because we have this, I mean, we're not as smart as them people, but we have a way about, you know, let's be Let's be together.
But because of your musical soul, the way it is, the way you just described it, the way you describe it as you play it, is why people, year after year and time after time, keep after this man. And he ends up in the studio with Natalie Cole and the unforgettable tribute to her father that won Grammy Awards, sold millions of copies of records, and this man was at the piano. That's what you're speaking about. It's that kind of thing that you can't learn.
Man, Gary, you knocked me out, man, because all you know all this stuff.
I work for the CIA. As soon as I get out of here, what? I'm second shift, CIA.
But because everything you say makes me say, man, that's right. I went to Miss Natalie's house, this beautiful, beautiful lady with the green eyes. Man, I think I had a crush on Natalie. And then Miss Natalie said, I remember Dad's song when he did this. And I remember the introduction for the particular tune. And it was once again my memory, because I had all those records when my mother and father had Nat's songs, you know, these remote songs that they forgot about from Nat King Cole. So it was Nat King Cole, it was Bing Crosby, it was Louis Armstrong. It was just this marvelous world of individuals that were like mangoes off the tree, man. Everybody was just a juicy fruit of musical expression.
Music lived and learned. And this morning, I've learned that before we say goodbye, now this band's going to be again tonight at the Blue Note through Sunday night. Carl Wright on drums and percussion. Carl, whew, getting it done. Leon Duncan on the electric bass. Andy Bassford brought his guitar and some special effects there to make it all work and take us to the islands. Jason Brown on the drums. Long time. JJ, Hassan, Shakur, thank you, sir. It's good to see you again. On saxophone, doing it. Wayne Escoffrey. Always does, and we know that, don't we, WBGO listeners? We know him as a leader, too. And the doctor himself, Monty Alexander, has given us the checkup from the neck up. And I am so, so appreciative, sir, that you have been here this morning. The new recording is called Warwicka Hill, and it takes the music of Thelonious Monk and naturally gives it the vibration that was there all along, and it took a world soul like Monty Alexander to pull it out. What are you going to take us out with this morning, sir?
I have so many favorites of these tunes that we did, and one of them that sticks out for some reason is Baya, Baya. And every time I play that, I think about going for a swim in the Caribbean and with a mango.
Oh.
This is how I feel. So we're going to have a go at Baya.
Monty Alexander in the band tonight through Sunday, the Blue Note in New York City, and here this morning. It's how we thank you at WBGO.